This is a production of Cornell University.
Hi, everyone. Okay, we're about to get started. I just want to make a quick announcement. So our recorder is not working today. So every time that you speak, please speak into the microphone so that everything that we have is on record when it's getting recorded over our Zoom feed. The time is 4:48. Can I please get a roll call? Adele Williams.
Present.
Amari Lampert. Annette Gleiberman, Anneli Onoye,
here.
Claire Templeman, Claudia Leon, Deepak Ilongo, Dylan Eisman, Duncan Katie,
here.
Esther Bentalila,
here.
Everest Yan. Henry Wade, Genevieve Bansoff,
here.
John Yang,
here.
Joseph Mullen,
here.
Kate Santa Cruz,
here.
Rinal Thacker, Lucas Smith,
here.
Manaya Lewis,
here.
Morgan Baker,
here.
Nicole Overton,
here.
Nikki Reddy.
Here.
Payne Bronmeyer.
Present.
Valeria Valencia.
Here.
Yana Nawi Logan.
Here.
There's 20 members present.
Thank you. Okay, the time is 4:50. We have 20 members present, and I'm officially calling this meeting to order. Okay, I'm going to begin with our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Guyagano Cayuga Nation. The Guyagano are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Guyagano dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Guyagano people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Okay, first I'm gonna start with approval of the meeting minutes. Representative Smith.
So section E regarding resolution 15, we appear to be missing the discussion. I guess it wasn't a discussion, but I offered the amendment to refer our financial aid review committee to conduct an investigation in conjunction with the financial aid office. So I guess I'd make the motion to amend the minutes to reflect that an amendment was offered and the whereas clause was added to the resolution.
Do I have a second? Perfect. So we're gonna move into voting. All those in favor? Okay, all those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, in a vote of 20-0-1, that resolution passes. Oh yes, that amendment passes, sorry. Anything else?
Second,
okay, can we take, do we have any dissent to that?
I have a dissent, sorry.
Yes.
I would like to propose an amendment. It's towards the end of the resolution, but I believe Morgan stated that the funds that would not be allocated should the research committee be dissolved will be in the reserve account. So I would like to propose an amendment that reflects that language in the minutes.
Second.
Do we have any dissent to that? Okay. All those in favor? Did someone come in after we originally? Okay, perfect. All those opposed? All those abstaining? In a vote of 21-0-1, that amendment passes. Yes.
I motion to approve the minutes by unanimous consent.
Second. Any dissent? Perfect. Okay. So that those minutes are approved by unanimous consent. Next, we'll move into open microphone, and I'll pass that to Vice President Banta.
Thank you, President, or the Chair. Okay, open minutes. So if non-SA members have any announcements, please feel free to step forward and give any announcement or any information you want for non-SA members. Okay, I'll take that as a no. Non-SA members have nothing to say today. Great. So then I'll close open microphone. Thank you. I'll pass it back to President Anonye.
Okay, at this time, do we have any announcements and reports? Representative Braunmeier.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I know I made a COVID-related comment last week. You know, I don't know, maybe knock on wood, but our cases really went down. So if you guys did any, you know, pushing, I'm glad everybody's wearing their masks and, you know, hopefully we'll have returned to normalcy. You know, I don't know if this is going to be like a COVID update for me weekly or it's going to be, but yeah, just happy to see everything back to normal and glad everybody's you know, getting their act together. So cheers, guys.
Representative Mailer.
just really quickly, for any freshman transfer here, tonight is the first night for freshman and transfer election info sessions. There was one tonight at 7:30 in the conference room in RPCC, and there is another tomorrow in 402 Willow Street Hall, which is the room just at the left at 5 p.m. or 5:30 p.m. I believe. It's all the information for all the elections for the semester is now on the website. The rules are posted, the forms are there, the links are there, everything is set up, and thank you to Annie for putting stuff on social media.
Representative Mullen.
Yeah, just a very small announcement, but I wanted to wish Representative Williams a happy birthday.
Thank you, Representative Mullen.
Representative Katie.
I know a lot of people are going to the event afterwards at the law school. Just want to let any of you know that afterwards, if it should time out right, you can still probably make the elections thing with Patrick. So definitely worth considering, and we'd love to see people come out, obviously. So cool.
Representative Smith.
Permission to ask a question to the elections chair.
Permission granted.
Awesome. Do you have the dates for the actual elections itself? And if so, could you share that? I think that'd be helpful to get that in the record as well.
Give me 2 seconds, I can pull it up. No tech rule, no computers. Okay, so the info sessions are the first thing that happens for the calendar. Perfect. Wendy is also sharing this on the screen if you want to look at there as well, but I'll also just read it out loud. Info session tonight, 7:30 p.m., RPCC conference room. Info session tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. 402 Willard Street Hall. On the 20th of September, That is when the deadline for election registration is. So you have from now until then to collect all of your signatures for freshmen and transfers. For those who are running, there's a mandatory campaign meeting that evening, and then you may start campaigning the next day. The candidate forum, which I encourage all the current SA members to attend as well, will be at 7:30 p.m. in the Appel Common Multi-Purpose Room on September 23rd. Voting will be on September 28th until September 30th. We will deal with challenges and all that fun stuff the night of Thursday, and we hope to have everything with all the results to you October 1st, and you will all have four new freshmen and a transfer representative joining you for the meeting October 6th, that Thursday.
Representative Lampert.
Hi, I'm working with the Sexual Wellness Advisory Group, and they're thinking about changing their part on the website for Cornell Health, and they wanted me all to poll you about something, so check out, be on the lookout for a Slack poll later that I'm gonna put. Just wanted to let you all know to please vote for it.
Representative Gormeyer.
Sorry to keep this going, but permission to ask the election chair question.
Sorry, can you
permission to ask the election chair a question?
Permission granted.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask if any of our help is needed tonight, and if so, like what that would be.
I appreciate that very greatly, Representative Payne. I don't need any of your help for tonight, but I would sincerely appreciate it as you see postings go up. Again, very thankful that Annie posted stuff on social media. Please share that around. Please share that with your freshmen. Please share that with all the transfers you know. North Campus and Cookhouse especially need as much recognition and knowing what's going on as possible. Especially, I just ask as all of you, as representatives of the SA, I hope you enjoy your job. Sharing that with the new students is the best way for them to want to get involved themselves. So I might individually reach out to some of you and be like, hey, we sometimes struggle with folks in AAP. Would you mind throwing something into whatever that group me looks like? But besides that, I appreciate the offer, but we should be all set. I'll let you know.
Representative Lampert.
Permission to ask the election. Any questions?
Permission granted.
Do you have any like social media slides or anything that you can send us so that we can put it out?
Yes, it's on the Cornell, it's Cornell Student Assembly, the Instagram, just that one. The slides are already up. They're lovely made. So I would just repost those ones that I think they're already posted. They're on, I think, My Story. They're going to go through Cornell Votes and all the other civic engagement peers on campus as well. If you guys could just repost that, it's very appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay, I have two quick announcements. So number one, just because, like I mentioned before, we're being recorded on Zoom today. Please just make sure that you're speaking into the microphones really clearly, just so that everything is there for public record. And then two, just as an update, we do have a booth for Club Fest this Sunday from 3 to 5. So if you would like to volunteer, please let me know. I'll have more information for you either today or tomorrow. Okay, do we have anything else? Next we will move into initiatives. So, did you have something? Okay. next we... You're not able to hear me?
Here.
Yes, of course. What?
Need to really put it against your
yeah
voice.
You gotta like literally speak into the mass and
hello can you speak like this? It would help.
Yes. And she's covering us for the sun today, so thank you so much for being here. Okay, so now we are in initiatives. Okay, I will move on to presentations and forums. And now we're in business of the day. Representative Katie.
I'd like to motion to amend the agenda for new business so that we can add SR 23, support for reproductive rights, onto the agenda.
For a second?
Second.
And can I do that by unanimous consent to amend the agenda?
Yes. That was by unanimous consent. consent?
Yes.
Was that a second to unanimous consent? Okay. Do I have any dissent to that? Okay. That passes. That's the same. So where would you like to put that on the agenda?
Yeah, then can I then motion to amend the agenda by unanimous consent to move it to the first piece of new business?
Second? Okay. Do we have any dissent to that?
So this is a resolution?
Yeah, it passed executive last night. There just were some issues with adding it to the agenda.
Awesome. I don't anticipate problems with it, but I'd prefer it to be later in the agenda, seeing as the body hasn't had a chance to look at it. I mean, I'm not sure what I'm talking about.
I can rescind. Yeah, or I can rescind that. Yeah, sure.
I just prefer since I haven't had a chance to look at it.
So I take back the motion to move it up in the agenda. So just after resolution 22, I assume.
Okay.
Point of information, how can we take a look at this? Is the tech rule allowed to be violated?
Yeah, just bring out your laptop.
Can we put it on?
That
awesome.
Might make it easier. Okay. What? Is it in the document?
It's not in the document.
Is it in box?
It should be in box. I can double check.
Yes, Wendy.
Just point of information, if someone can send me the document, I'd be happy to share it on Zoom and have it up on the screen.
I can do that right now.
Thank you. Okay, so given that, we can move into, and just a reminder, so obviously you can have your tech up right now just because this is an addition to our agenda, but please only use that to do that so that we're staying mindful and aware and present in this meeting. So now we will go to resolution number 17. Co-sponsors of the resolution can now talk about the resolution.
Motion to amend the agenda to move resolution 17 after resolution 23.
Do we have a second? Okay. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Okay, can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Okay, that passes in a vote of 20-0-2. Okay, so resolution 17 has moved below resolution 13. Now we're at resolution number 18. Co-sponsors of the resolution can now talk about their resolution.
Hi everyone, can you hear me like this? Try to keep it as close as possible. Okay, so resolution 18 is calling on Cornell to make a statement supporting the Gayakono Cayuga Nation, traditional government, the Council of Chiefs and Clan Mothers. Currently they are facing, can you explain first?
Basically, they are currently being threatened by this man named Clint Halftown, who was named the federal representative for the Gayakono to the Bureau of Indian Affairs. If you look at the resolution, there's some information on what he's done that is so atrocious. So we wanted to introduce this resolution to show our support and to give some context on why we're doing this now, even though he's been the representative for a while. basically since May, there's been like a renewed sense of urgency, and there's been a lot of organizing efforts in conjunction, like between the Gallegano and allies, and some of them have asked us to kind of bring that support into Cornell and into the community, and we thought it would be good to do that through a resolution. And we also got some feedback from Sachem Sam George, who is one of the Cayuga Nation chiefs. So we're going to introduce some amendments in line with what he told us.
Yeah, so these amendments came up after the executive meeting, so they aren't in the current document. We feel like they're really important. They add a lot of context, and Sachem George requested it, and it's for their people. So I'll just orate them. We'll get you the document. So what we're going to be, I'd like to motion to strike the first two whereas statements and replace them with this. Whereas the two-row wampum, a treaty initially established between the Haudenosaunee Confederacy and Dutch settlers in 1613, and later extended to the fledgling United States, commits to non-interference in one another's governance affairs while proceeding in relationships of peace and friendship. And whereas, in accordance with the two-row wampum, the Gallegano have put forth various requests for help, including within the May 15th letter from the Council of Chiefs and Clan Mothers for those within the United States to be holding the US government accountable on this issue. So this amendment will stress the two-row wampum, which is a really important treaty that has been signed. We have a, can I say all of them or?
Second.
We have other amendments.
Okay, yeah.
Can we pass this first? Is that how we should do it? Okay. So another issue that was brought up to us that's really important to us is to add clan mothers after every time we say the Council of Chiefs. In their traditional governance, the clan, the Gallegano are matrilineal, and the clan mothers have a really important role in the system. So after everywhere where it says the Council of Chiefs, we are going to be adding and clan mothers. Additionally, we're going to add one be it therefore resolved statement, which I will read now. Be it therefore resolved, the Student Assembly is in support of the Cayuga Nation Council of Chiefs and Clan Mothers statement, subsequent demands, and is convinced of the merits of their case. And you wanna do yours and then mine? Or? Just the last thing we're gonna do is update the abstract and the title to reflect these amendments.
Yeah, sorry. I know that sounds like a lot, but really, like the main thing that changed was the first two clauses, and that was pretty much like with the purpose of making it more like a student-centered issue, kind of like noticing that they called us and like called on us to show the support. So yeah, that's pretty much the crux of the changes. And if anybody wants like a PDF or a printed version of those changes, just let me know.
Can I second that motion to amend?
Do we have any dissent to that? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your placards. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, that amendment holds in a vote of 21-0-1.
Does anybody have any questions?
Okay, Representative Smith.
So thank you for bringing this resolution. Definitely questions. I think it's a great resolution, but I guess certainly my interest in local politics has me following Seneca County quite a bit, so I know how much of a mess their Board of Supervisors is. And they've made some mistakes. That being said, I guess I'm curious and I can hypothesize an answer, but if I'm not mistaken, the talking point from Halftown is that 60% approve of him. If I'm not mistaken, I'm forgetting where that came from. That was 2016, something like that. I guess I'm skeptical about the first resolve clause because of that 60%. Again, I don't know how valid those results are, as one would say. I have no problems with the rest, but I'm skeptical of this specific targeting of Halftown because of this supposed 60% do approve.
Did you mention that this was from 2016?
I can't remember off the top of my head. All I know is that there's a recent Finger Lakes Times article that does reference this, and in fact, Half Town, you know, they quote both sides of the table on this, and that's his big talking point. And again, he must be the nation collectively voted, and 60% was the returned approval rating for him to remain in power.
Yeah. I guess I'd be interested in hearing more about that statistic, because if it was like before February of 2020, if you notice like line 25, like that details how like back in 2020, Clint Halftown literally burned down their like schoolhouses, homes, businesses. So if it is from before then, like I think this would be like, this is a very important thing to keep in mind. And another thing that we think is important about this is that we are like reiterating and supporting like the Gayagono Council of Chiefs. And we are doing this like not directly at the request, but like indirectly at the request.
Yeah, I would just add, Yanina, we would like to make a comment. She is also one of the co-sponsors, but didn't come to the table. Would it be okay if she addressed this?
Yeah, I would just like to point out that when he was first appointed, there was a very high approval rating of him. He was really young at the time. And of course, you know, over time and through actions of your appointment, that dissatisfaction grew. The 2016 statistics, I believe at that point, they were, my mom has done extensive research on this case also, so I'm very familiar with it. And I protested in the spring with some of the campers. So I'm familiar with the situation. And it's 2016 would not be a very reliable source of statistics for this case. But as far as we know, there's a very high disapproval rating amongst the Cayuga people. Thank you.
Representative Jang. Oh, and
can you get a mic,
speak
please?
Into the microphone.
Right next to Payne.
You need to speak into the microphone.
Should I say a point of privilege when I ask questions?
Point of information.
A point of information. All right, thank you. So I read the resolution 18, and he said, Clint Hopkins, one of the reasons is that he harassed and violence people. I wonder if this is reference to the lawsuit that where it mentioned Cayuga Nation leader $600,000 from some in tribal homes. Is this the instance that you are referencing?
So definitely like it plays part into it, but it's not like there's no one specific thing that has made Clint Halftown like kind of an enemy of them. It's a lot, so that does play into it.
Okay, so I just wanna clarify because I'm a little confusing. So the leader, Clint Halftown's, originally was supported by the Cayuga Nations, but later on, because some of his actions that go against the nation itself, and the Asian the Cayuga Nation chiefs and also the people already stand out against him. Am I reading the situation correctly?
Yes, that is correct. That's why they want him removed, but the people themselves do not have the power to do that. The Bureau of Indian Affairs has to and has not been listening to their requests, which is kind of why we want Cornell to urge them to.
Okay, okay. So do other leadership other than Clinton Hopkins are in line to replace him?
Not someone specifically as far as we know. So Clint Halftown, his title is their federal representative, but the Council of Chiefs as well as the Clan Mothers are a group of individuals who are the governance of the people. Mm-hmm. Their primary goal would be to have the Bureau recognize them instead of appointing a new federal representative. Okay. But if that had to be the case, I believe there are people that would be able to.
So Clinton Halftown was appointed by the federal government instead of elected by the Cayuga Nation?
Correct.
And the council of the Cayuga Nation was elected. And then they believe that they should be the representative instead of Clinton Halftown. Am I correct?
I'm not sure elected would be the proper term because it is through familial lineage. Is that correct? Partially elected, yeah. That's a Western way.
I would typically just say appointed. I wouldn't reference.
Yeah, the chiefs are appointed. There you go.
appointed by the previous chief, or who
by the people? It's a traditional process, but I would. It's kind of complicated, but election, I guess, would be. It's more of an appointment by, I guess, the other leaders in the community. I don't know how to explain that more. Yeah.
Okay. But that's okay. So they are appointed in the traditional way of the tribe, mm-hmm. and then they decided to. They want the federal government to recognize them instead of Queen Puppet. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Representative Mullen.
Yeah, I'd just like to commend this resolution. It's very, very important. And if there's nothing else from the co-sponsors, I'd like to motion. Well, I would like to motion to vote or motion to approve, but yeah.
Okay, so did we get a second to that motion? Okay, I'm going to go to Representative Smith first.
Point of parliamentary inquiry, I believe since he motioned to vote, we cannot take points anymore.
So we didn't have a second.
No one seconded.
So we didn't have not a second. Do we have a second? Okay, so we're voting now? Okay, can we? I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm fine to hear points.
Okay, so now we're voting to end debate. Okay, perfect. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Okay, all those opposed? Okay, all those abstaining? Okay, so that passes in a vote of 17-3-2.
And can I motion to vote now? Or I don't know.
Okay, so now we're voting. Okay, perfect. Okay, we are voting on resolution 18. All those in favor, please raise your placards. Okay, all those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, that resolution passes in a vote of 21-0-1. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, so now we are at, I'm going to pass the microphone to VP Banta.
Okay, so because President Anonye is the sponsor of resolution 19, I will now chair for a meantime. But now we're moving on to resolution 19, again, sponsored by President Anonye, so she'll.
Okay, hi everyone. This is super straightforward. So this is amending and ratifying the Student Assembly Charter. There were no changes made to the charter. If you read this document, it might look a little bit different than we've had, but this is the updated version and nothing was changed. So I would like to motion for, I'm
Representative Kaden.
A motion to vote by unanimous consent.
There's been a motion. Is there a second? Awesome. There's a second. So, yeah. Okay. That point of, yeah, Representative Smith, was that a second or a dissent? Okay. Do you want to state why?
On behalf of election chair Naylor, who pointed out a really good typo on page 18 of our packet, there is two non-discrimination clauses, L and M. So I'd make the motion to strike line 659.
Representative Eisman.
Oh,
Do you mind speaking to the microphone, please?
Sorry. I just wanted to inquire about if we were to make an amendment to the charter, even though it's minor, are we still allowed to vote during this meeting on approving it, on ratifying it?
You're allowed to make a motion to amend something.
But will that influence whether or not we'll be eligible to vote on it during this meeting, or will we have to ratify it next meeting?
During this meeting.
Right. I think best practice, oops, sorry, like permission.
Can you repeat that, please?
I interrupted.
Okay.
I think we have to table the charter.
Okay, we have to table.
Yes, so we're going to have to motion to table to next week.
Okay.
Point of information. Yes. For the second non-discrimination clause, we removed that in the Appendix B resolution last week. We could yeah. Remove it twice.
I'll just like clarify. So this looks a little bit different because we're amending a charter that basically President Pollack currently has. So when those like resolutions come forward, everything that Morgan's done in the last few weeks.
Representative Katie.
So for clarification, just because I'm trying to follow on with everyone else, in amending Appendix B, we removed the second. So if we were to approve this, it would have to be then approved by President Pollack, and then this would have to be approved with the changes in Appendix B, meaning we don't have to remove it here.
It's already being.
So we could just pass this and not remove that because it's already been removed. So in that case, I motion to vote by unanimous consent.
All right.
Oh, we're motioning to table by unanimous consent.
Well, do we have to table it if it's already been removed by Appendix B?
The entire.
Yes. Document. Oh. So
we're just motioning to, basically, I just need a motion to table, so next week we can vote on
this. I motion to table.
All right.
By unanimous consent.
Okay. Any dissent? Great, it's tabled. Thank you.
Okay.
Now moving on to Resolution 20, still sponsored by President Nonge.
Perfect, so Resolution 20 is amending and ratifying the Student Assembly standing rules. Nothing has been changed, so I'd really love a motion. Oh, I can motion to vote by unanimous consent.
Yep. There's one a second. Great. Any dissent? Awesome. It passes by unanimous consent. Thank you, President Anonge.
Thank you.
And then we have Resolution 21, again, sponsored by President Anonge.
Okay, so Resolution 21, I have to ask the chair to give permission. But I'd like to ask for permission for people to use laptops to look up 21 because I realized when it like printed, basically the like notes for 21 didn't show up. So it just looks like a blank document.
Permission granted. You can pull out your laptops to look this up.
And I'm pulling it up real quickly just so I can see it.
Sorry, Representative Katie.
This is just a point of information unrelated to Resolution 21, but Resolution 23 has been added to the box.
Awesome. Wendy, Resolution 23 is added to the box now. Thank you.
Okay, I'm so sorry. My laptop's being very slow, but I can explain it while I'm pulling this up. So basically, these were a few changes to our bylaws. They're pretty straightforward. Okay, so basically the amendments to the bylaws are two quick things. So one, it's changing the ex officio seat for tri-council, basically to provide an ex officio seat for every like department of Greek life, just because when I was campaigning and reaching out to them, a lot of them complain that with this rotational cycle, they don't have like that opportunity to really come to SA and really feel like they're participating. So it's just giving Interfaith Council, Panhel, and Multicultural Greek Life the opportunity to come to our meetings, stuff along those lines if they'd like to. So that's number one. And then number two is creating a student athlete ex officio position. That has been something that they've been advocating for quite a while. So that just gives the opportunity for an athlete to come feel represented on our student assembly. And I'm pulling up the exact wording, but those are the only two changes.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, so I guess talking about this tri-council change, I'm not sure that I'm in support of it. So certainly I'm a part of the IFC, so I appreciate the value of Greek life. But I've never seen an ex officio member, you know, regularly attend regardless. And our meetings are open to the Cornell community every single week. You don't really get different access. So I think expanding this circle of ex officio status for the Greek life community on campus, which is already only a third of students, doesn't make a lot of sense. Like I get like the athlete side of things, that makes a little bit more sense to me because there's nothing specifically for that athlete representation. But the Greek tri-councils work together. So I think that we're not considering the other two thirds of students who aren't in Greek life by adding two extra ex officio seats just because the Greek tri-council doesn't want to work together. So I would think that we might want to remove that. But.
Yeah, so I mean, my response to that is just, I've heard like Greek life wants like more representation for the student assembly and they want to feel like they're active participants in the work that we're doing. As you've mentioned, I've noticed that and realized that as well, but I want to give them that opportunity if they would like to be coming to our meetings and would like that participation.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Representative Bentolila.
I have a question, so a point of information. So first, thank you for creating the student athlete seat. I think it's necessary, but just a general concern is that, for example, for me to come to these meetings, I have to miss practice. So how do you suggest that student athletes attend these meetings if there is an ex officio seat for them, and how would they fill it?
Yeah, no. So ex officios aren't necessarily required to come to our meetings. A lot of times they do, but a lot of times they're also involved in a lot of advocacy that goes on with the student assembly. They also are like welcome to committees. They also are welcome to our executive board meetings. So I think that this is just an opportunity to give them that like space. I think there's also different times for different practices. So if we reach out to the student athlete advisory committee and they have a representative who doesn't have practice on Thursday evenings, they can be coming to these meetings as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bentolila. And then Representative Glaberman, I'm sorry.
I just want to voice my support for what Representative Smith said. I think he brought up a really good point. I don't even know who our tri-council representative is, and I think that's a little bit saying something because I believe I know all the other ex officio seats. And especially when it's a seat that like could be given to anyone who, in that whole community who's available, I think it's saying something when no one's here. I don't really feel the need. I think like if we're already representing a community, like a community with a seat and they're not really using it, why add two more? And yeah, this is just based off of, I agree with a lot of the points Representative Smith said.
Thank you, Representative Glaberman. Representative Santa Cruz.
Just a point of information, could you kind of talk about adding the like the seats? You said two ex officio members, one is a student athlete. Can you talk a little bit more about the second one and how you kind of came to that conclusion, like one more time?
Oh, for tri-council?
Yeah.
So that had just been like campaigning and meeting with like the different representatives from tri-council. That was something that they expressed and an idea that I had thought. But really, I'm open to a lot of conversation and honestly think Representative Byron and Representative Smith, so I do want to leave this open to the assemblies. I think it's important when we're thinking about Greek life to like incorporate them into the conversations that we have. They do come up a lot quite often in the student assembly. So I was thinking when they wanted representation and wanted the opportunities to come to our meetings, just because it is a circling, rotating seat. So for the most part, when a representative in that ex officio seat comes and serves basically for an entire year, the other two may not feel as represented. So that's what kind of where that suggestion came from. But again, very like open and welcome to this debate.
Thank you, Representative Santa Cruz. Representative Mullen.
Thank you. Yeah, I would just voice support for having these two additional ex officio seats. I think, as President Nonia just said, there's a huge difference between being a community member able to attend any meeting you want and actually being represented on the SA and having an official role. And also, if this was something that was brought up during the campaign, something that was directly said to people while running, it makes sense to deliver on that promise to be accountable to the community and have that be an accomplishment after the campaigning. So I'm in support of that.
Can I respond to that? Again, I want to say, like, thank you so much, Representative Mullen, for your support, but I also want to, like, acknowledge that, like, that was on my campaign, so, like, this is, like, for the entire assembly, so I want to make sure that all of you, like, feel like this is, like, your input and something that you would like.
Thank you, Representative Mullen, and Representative Williams.
Thank you, Chair, because you're chair technically right now, right? Yeah, the chair.
It's nice.
All right. I have a point of information and then a comment. So point of information, for the ex officio seat for the athlete, what would be the process of appointing that person? Because, I mean, obviously we have a lot of different teams. So how is one person going to represent every athlete?
Yes, so it's in here, although I know it's like kind of hard because it's not highlighted, but it's line 32 and 33. That will go through the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, which is like basically a coalition of like all the student athletes on campus. And basically a lot of times when we give them to like these like kind of organizations, they just appoint or they choose someone and they send them to us.
Thank you. And then I just had a quick comment. So I hear the pros and cons of adding these two extra seats. As much as I want everyone to feel represented, I would be cautious of this because Greek life is not explicitly anyone who wants to get involved can. There is like an application process. There is people who do get cut. And although these people might have different experiences than other campus students and want those issues heard, it's not representing like really the whole body. And with these ex officio seats, I feel like it's trying to get more representation and hopefully it would be for everyone. Okay, that's my comment. Thank you.
So my response to that is just that a lot of these are kind of selective ex officio seats. So if you're thinking about like communities like Cornell Veterans, or if you're looking at communities like Cornell Residential Student Congress, stuff along those lines, a lot of those have like application processes. So just to take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Williams. So then we had UA Representative Fight.
I also wanted to voice my support, as Representative Mullen had just done, for adding three new ex officio seats to the student assembly from each constituency of the Greek tri-councils. It's important not only, not in the sense that possibly the person who is currently supposed to occupy that seat is not using it, but we have to be looking also towards the future, the needs and the wants and issues facing each of the constituencies are very different. So making sure that all those voices are heard, you know, as student leaders here, we ought to be thinking about not only how we can make the community better in our own capacities, but also bring more voices to the table in order to ensure an equitable distribution of priorities as it affects all students and all desires. Ultimately, you know, it really comes down to making sure that we have as much representation as possible. I see no harm in adding it two extra seats if no one's going to use them. But the fact that that option exists is very important.
Thank you, Representative Light. And then Representative Luke Smith. You're on the second speaker. Okay, then Representative Katie, I think you're the first.
Thank you. I would just like to comment on a couple previous points made. I'm in support of adding these positions. Really for the sole reason that I recognize that right now we have a very representative student assembly that is, you know, blessed with people of many different experiences in the Cornell community. But I'm of the mindset that anything we can do to strengthen our connection with the community is ultimately beneficial for the assembly. You know, there are members here who I'm sure in fraternities and in sororities, there are members here who are student athletes who aren't. I think that these positions, they offer unique ability for these communities to say, you know, if there isn't representation for some reason or a community isn't heard, even if they are in a community we all associate with, they're still very much part of this campus. And as ex officio members, they can be as involved and uninvolved as they'd like. So I think it's a good opportunity to allow people to be more involved in the student assembly, which I think as a body is ultimately a good thing. My hope is that we can recognize that and moving forward with this resolution and recognize that, you know, while we might not relate as much to some of these bodies, while we might not be part of some of these student groups, they are a large part of our campus. And by inviting them to participate, we're opening the door for their voices.
I'd like to thank Representative Katie. I'd also like to mention, I think one thing that we're not considering with these positions as well is that it also encapsulates the multicultural Greek life, which I feel like they're like very separate and very different than what we might necessarily think of as Greek life. And I think it's worth like recognizing and thinking about the fact that they're only really have this position every 3 years and just giving them an opportunity and a place at the table as well.
Thank you, Representative Katie. And then first speaker's list, so Representative Overton. Where am I?
Can you all hear me okay? Okay. I'm trying not to sound like a broken record here, so hopefully I'll add something new, but I would also like to express my support for this. I think Representative Katie said a lot of what I was gonna say about it. And I would just kind of, the other point I was gonna bring up, but I think Representative Anoye said similar things. Like, I think that a lot of times when people like hear Greek life, they're like, oh, like it's so removed, like, from the reality of campus, but it's really not, especially when you take into multicultural fraternities and sororities into account. I feel like they all like deserve fair representation on the student assembly, and aware that like a lot of us are in those organizations, but I think an explicit representation would be beneficial for our community. And also like to point out, some people said like it's kind of more, they have cuts, like honestly, like most things here have cuts, like if we're being honest here. Sports teams have cuts, Greek life has cuts, even the school does, you know, there are people who get rejected from majors. Like, I don't think that's a great reason to not have these seats on. And again, I just like to kind of like, once again, express that it's more beneficial, in my opinion, to our community to have these seats than to not have them, especially if people have expressed support for it from our community. Thank you.
Motion to vote.
Second.
All right, there's been a motion, there's been a second. Is there a dissent? To end debate. So is there a dissent? Yep. Oh, you already dissented, President? President. Representative Weisman, you want to be president? Okay, got it. So 2/3. All right, yep. So all those in favor to end debate, please raise your hand. That's 12, all 13. All those against? That's 7, all those dissent, or abstain, not dissent. 1, okay. So that's 13-7-1. So it passes?
Yep. It's 13-7-2. You have to count yourself.
Myself. Great. 13-7-2. Thank you, President Anoye. So now we're moving on to voting.
Point of parliamentary inquiry.
So it fails. It fails. So we're back in debate.
It goes to the chair.
What?
Hi, Chair.
Hi, Chair.
I have a point of parliamentary inquiry. Yeah. How much of the body is required for previous question to pass?
2/3.
2/3. Okay.
So it fails. Yeah. So we're back in debate. And now we're back on the president. Representative Eisman. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep on calling you president. But.
Point of parliamentary inquiry. So because this is an amendment to the bylaws, don't we have to postpone this to the next regular meeting as well, or no?
No, it's not an amendment. Like, we're not, that was for the resolution 20. Yeah, that's not for the bylaws.
Yeah, isn't that technically altering the bylaws?
No, the previous one was the charter.
So this does not affect the charter or the bylaws?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you for the concern.
Oh, wait, no, this is the bylaws.
Yeah, so the bylaws doesn't affect the charter.
But isn't it technically the bylaws also have that same clause that you cannot pass?
Yeah, there wasn't an amendment introduced for the bylaws.
Yeah.
There was no amendment introduced at this meeting. This was already passed through the executive committee for this amendment. So I don't think that we have to delay voting because there was no amendment. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no amendment put forward at this meeting.
I mean, it says it has to be at a regular meeting. So if this amendment was passed through the executive meeting, that wouldn't be considered a regular meeting, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
Okay. But there hasn't been a motion, though. So exactly. Is there a motion? There's no motion to the table? Yeah. Representative Smith?
Yeah, so appreciate feedback on both sides. I think this is great that we're having a discussion about what we want to see from the tri-councils. With that said, again, I emphasize that the Greek tri-councils is the collective body of the three organizations. So it's, I don't think it comes down to an issue of IFC is this way and MGF or MGFC is this way, because they all get together and it's not IFC showing up for this. It's a representative of the Greek Tri-Council, which is why it is designed as it is. And I think that, that it's well written. And again, I come back to Greek life is a third of campus. You know, we're not giving Donlin Hall a representative on an ex officio and Clara Dixon Hall. Like, in theory, we'd be headed down the same path with the Residential Student Congress. We should do that. And then athletics, we should have a Cornell varsity soccer team, you know, ex officio. And we like go the whole process of segmenting it all. So with that, I'd offer a motion to not change section 3A. To keep the current language, which is a rotating seat for the Greek Tri-Council.
Motion. Point of order? Is that the right wording? Wouldn't he be amending the resolution because we'd have to pass the resolution?
Yeah, I think he would just be
doing it like the opposite.
Okay, then I will change the language to the SA shall grant one member chosen by the Greek Tri-Councils, right? I propose changing the language to the SA shall grant one member chosen by the blah, blah, blah. Yep. The SA shall grant one member chosen by the Greek Tri-Councils as an ex officio member as an organizational liaison. The liaison chosen by the Tri-Councils shall be selected on a rotating basis from the three councils, beginning with a representative of the Interfraternity Council, following with the Pan-Hellenic Association, and finishing with the Multicultural Greek and Fraternal Council. Each liaison will serve for one semester, and a liaison for the next council in the rotation will be granted membership at the beginning of the following semester. So note that as well, that it's a semesterly rotation.
So there's been a motion to make an amendment, and there's been a second. Is there dissent? What are you dissenting?
You're motioning to withdraw the amendment that's been put forward on the bylaws, or to not have that amendment, to keep the language as it is in the bylaws?
Correct, as recommended by the chair and the resolution sponsor, that I offer that language rather
okay.
than simply.
So it would maintain it as is in the bylaws?
Correct, but because this is presented as a resolution, it was suggested again by the chair and the resolution sponsor that I reintroduce the language.
From my understanding from the bylaws, if there's nothing different in the bylaws, we can then vote on them at this meeting. But As Representative Eisman said, if there is an amendment that we amend the bylaws in some capacity, then we do have to wait to next meeting to vote on them.
Can I respond?
Yeah, go ahead.
So that's fine, just because we're going to be voting also for the student athlete position as well. So it would have to be voted on next weekend.
Do you withdraw your
consent?
Yeah. Okay, awesome. So we're in voting.
Exactly.
So you cannot, unfortunately, say anything yet. So all those in favor, wait, I didn't mean to be cruel. All those in favor, please raise your plaque.
In favor of the amendment that
exactly
that
yeah
reverting the original language.
Okay. Exactly. Did everyone get that or? Yeah. So there's been a motion to amend the bylaws to keep it as it is.
Which and, is to clarify is a rotating seat for the three organizations that comprise the Greek Tri-Councils. So a rotating seat amongst the three.
Is that a point of information? Yeah.
So if we keep the bylaws as it is, then do we not vote on the student athlete representative either? Like, would they not be included? Or would they still? That's completely separate? Okay. Thank you.
So there's been a motion, again, to amend the bylaws to specifically change Section 3A. And there's been a second from Representative Weberman. Awesome. So now we're in voting.
Can I dissent?
Is there a point of, yeah?
Yeah, I dissent. Can I do a sense of the body just to, like, see to what extent? Yeah, Shoppel.
Okay. Great. Like... Yeah, so we have to motion to
actually
get,
don't just
vote. It's fine.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so President Nungay withdraws the motion. So we're back in voting, and again for the one last is that point of information? Okay. So one last time, there's been a motion to amend Section 3A of the bylaws. And there's been a second. So we're in voting right now. So all those in favor of that motion, please raise your plaque. That's 8. All those against. That's 11. And then 2. All those abstain. So 8-11-2, the motion fails. So we're back in debate.
Motion to table.
There's been a motion to table. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to table, we have a second. All those in favor, please raise your plaques. That's 19, all those against. All those abstain. That doesn't make sense. 19 said yeah. No. Oh, thank you. So from 19-0-1, the resolution has been tabled. Thank you so much, President Nungay.
Yeah. Motion to amend the agenda to put SR23 next so that our representatives from Planned Parenthood Generation Action can do that and then leave.
Second.
I'll pass the chair position back to President Nungay and then she'll continue the voting process. Thank you.
Okay. Can we have... Did we have a motion? We had a motion. Did we have a second?
Second.
Do we have any dissent? Okay, can I have all those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, and a vote of 21-0-1 that passes. So now we are seeing resolution number 23. The co-sponsors of that resolution can now take the floor.
Hey everybody, I'm going to defer to some of the other co-sponsors who had more to say with the writing of this resolution. So sitting next to me, either Sam or Helena, if you want to start.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having us here. My name is Samantha Heller. I'm here with the co-president of Planned Parenthood, Planned Parenthood Generation Action, PPGA. This is Helena. Anyway, so we're here in reaction to Texas Senate. Sorry.
Point of privilege. Can you put your mic closer than you think it has to be?
Sorry. Okay. Oh, that is louder. Hi. Okay, so as you might have guessed, we're here in reaction to Texas Senate Bill 8, which is a law that was enacted last week in Texas. And it is the earliest ban to have been implemented in law since pre-Roe v. Wade. Like, it's the, sorry, I'm a little nervous. it's the earliest abortion ban to be existing in our country for a very, very long time. And we're here to say that the Cornell student body and especially Planned Parenthood Generation Action is very much opposed to this and wants to reiterate that at Cornell and in New York State, the right to terminate a pregnancy and not be forced to give birth is still a reality. And that we stand in solidarity with our peers from Texas who may be most impacted by this decision. As it stands right now in Texas, the law prohibits abortions at 6 weeks, which is a time that most people don't even know they're pregnant. And so because of that, over about 85% of abortions that currently happen in Texas are now illegal. And yeah, so this obviously represents a really egregious like affront to people's bodily autonomy and the right to decide whether or not they want to give birth. And it endangers the lives of people who unfortunately may be desperate enough to seek like an unsafe self-managed abortion when there's no legal option or doctor for them to help them. And this will also disproportionately impact low-income communities and communities of color who don't have as ready access to, say, travel across state lines to seek an abortion because of income differences and other barriers. So with that, thank you again for having us. If anybody wants to add anything or ask us any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I also just want to stress that this bill does not have an exception for cases of rape or incest. So it's putting people who have already experienced trauma in really severe situations.
Does anybody have any questions or?
Perfect. I'll just start and just say thank you so much for bringing this resolution to the floor. On behalf of myself, it really means a lot that you guys are doing this advocacy work. Thank you so much. And then I will pass it to Representative Smith.
I echo that sentiment. Thank you for bringing this. I really appreciate the last be it finally resolved, putting it in perspective. Of course, this decision impacts the whole country and the world to some degree, but that understanding of 700 students from Texas, that's a really, powerful testament or whatnot to our student body. And then friendly amendment, potentially, I'm not gonna offer it, but we have the power to speak on behalf of the entire student body. So line 56, it says on behalf of the majority, we could remove that. It's not a big change, but just emphasizing that we speak on behalf of the student body. So we don't have to say on the majority, we speak for the student body. So your guys as well.
Okay, do we have any dissent to that? Okay, can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards. Okay, all those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, and a vote. Wait. No, sorry, there was. I think I counted wrong. Can we do that again? I'm so sorry.
Motion to revote.
Perfect. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Okay, perfect. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, and a vote of 18-0-4, that amendment passes. I would highly smile upon a motion to vote. Representative Gleiberman.
I just want to say thank you to Sam and Elena for bringing this forth so quickly. You guys are incredible, and I would like to motion to vote.
Perfect. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your placards? All those opposed? All those abstaining? Perfect. In a vote of 20-0-2, that resolution passes. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we will take resolution 22. The co-sponsors of that resolution can now take the floor.
Hello, everyone. So as you should recall, last week we discussed dissolving the RNA committee. And at the very end of our discussion, I motioned to make some amendments. And since those amendments were pretty vague, we decided to create a system that will replace those amendments meant to ensure accountability on the SA. And that has turned into the Office of Ethics. So the expectation is that you've all had time to read through the Office of Ethics, but I will give a brief overview in case you haven't been able to do so. So if you turn to lines 80 toward the end of the resolution, you can see the name, mission, affiliation. So the mission of the Office of Ethics is to pursue any necessary ethics concerns of SA members and directly elected UA representatives. The office will evaluate all requests submitted by community members that are against any SA members, SA committees, or directly elected UA representatives. And then it outlines the roles, responsibilities, and restrictions. So the setup is that there are 7 voting members, one of which is the chair. And since this is an external committee, it kind of copies the structure of the Office of Student Government Relations and the Office of Student Advocate. So if you can just think of those, this is kind of what this looks like. So if you go to recruitment, you can see that this is first going to be set up with all of us choosing one by one 7 members with a 2/3 vote, and then having a week-long period for all of us to be able to speak one-on-one with those nominees. And then once those 7 voting members are staffed, then they themselves will choose amongst themselves the chair, the director of the Office of Ethics internally. And then afterwards, the setup will be that internally, after the end of that academic year, those outgoing voter members will choose amongst themselves a new Office of Ethics director, and then they themselves will choose their voting members. So this is meant to start with us and then become an independent body, so to say. But at the same time, we still have the power of a vote of confidence. So we'll assess the work of the Office of Ethics every academic year or as often as we please. But regularly, we'll have a vote of confidence. And in the event that that fails, steps 1 and 2 under Part C will be repeated, and we'll choose a whole new slate of voting members again. And the process will repeat itself. Like I mentioned, we can repeat this process as often as is needed, but hopefully it won't come to that. And so the first charge of the Office of Ethics will be to expand on our SA ethics code, creating a formalized student assembly code of ethics. So currently all we really have is in the standing rules, a big paragraph about ethical conduct of SA members. So they'll be charged with expanding on that. We added some things in here of what should be included, but it's not limited to including. So like I said, an expansion of that language, an overview of possible
ethical conduct offenses, a process of determining a violation of ethics, and a process of recommending the appropriate disciplinary action to a third party. And then since we will, as a student assembly, will be abiding by these guidelines that they will be charged with interpreting and applying, we will be approving whatever they come up with at the end of this academic year with a two-thirds vote of the entire voting membership of the essay. And that is all that I wanted to say. I do want a motion to amend part E, number two, instead of possibly, it should say possible. So.
Point two.
Line 149, instead of possibly, make it possible.
Okay, we had a second, do we have a dissent? Okay, can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Okay, all those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, and a vote of 21-0-1, that resolution passes. Oh.
Or amendment passes.
Amendment passes, yes. I'm so sorry. Okay, and then.
I just had one more thing to say before we got to speakers.
What?
I had one more thing to say about the resolution before we got to speakers. Okay. So yeah, just so everyone's aware here, this is again born out of resolution 13, which was supposed to remove the Research and Accountability Committee. Our thoughts behind that were there was plenty of concerns for plenty of reasons for it, but that if any form of accountability wasn't on the essay, it just sets a dangerous precedent. The concept, again, going back to the reference of the student advocate, was this model is, it might seem a little complex, but it's essentially supposed to be checks and balances that removes the Office of Ethics, of whatever code of ethics the Office of Ethics comes with, the chair of this office all out of the control of the essay into their own independent like body. The hope was that if there are essay accountability, it works best when it's not done by the people who are supposed to be held accountable, right? The concept is a separate unit could work separately. We've gone through a lot of different rotations of this, and we'd of course love to hear all your suggestions, but just so you can better caught a understanding of it, the best, like really our big goal here was how do we keep it so it's its own thing, but if there's problems with it, we can intervene. That's why there's votes of two thirds, not just the majority. That's why there's that week to interview people. That's why we have votes of confidence. The concept is if it's functioning correctly, it wouldn't need the essay to get involved. But if it did, we have the procedure so we can remove the essay, we can remove politics, we can remove disagreements personally and focus on its goal, which is to have our assembly do its job best.
So quick comment, we already went through resolution 23, so no one can be on the electronics right now. And then I will start with Representative Fite. Did you still want to speak?
Yeah, it's shocking that the only people who were present when the Research and Accountability Committee was created was actually myself, Representative Baker, and Representative Smith. It's a good thing, you know, that other folks have run for office and as they will recall, there was issues. I read the past minutes, and I saw that folks were questioning the original intent of the Research and Accountability Committee. And so there were internal mishaps that prompted the foundation of that committee. And I believe I was an original co-sponsor of that bill, or resolution rather, and an original member. And there were definitely flaws with the committee from non-disclosure agreements to other members now knowing things they probably shouldn't about other members on the assembly itself. And so, you know, I really think that this is a great idea. At first, it took me a little bit by surprise, but I think it's definitely necessary. And so I commend y'all for that. And then also I would encourage you all to possibly reach out to Director Mailer, who has since left, regarding the challenges for essay elections, which is often necessary in order to have the ethics committee perhaps oversee those challenges. Because as I stated, that's often a problem. But other than that, I'm in support. I don't know, it's awkward to say I'm in support when I can't vote, but.
I'd like to motion make another amendment. So beforehand, this was all crossed out, but I don't know what happened. So I'd like to recross out lines 49 to 67.
Do we have a second? Perfect. Do we have any dissent? Okay. Can I have all those in favor, please raise your hand. Your placards. Representative Lewis, is your placard up? Okay. Can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Okay, and a vote of 19-0-3, that amendment passes. Congratulations. Okay. Representative Templeman.
I'd just like to commend the sponsors of this resolution. As a former member of the RNA committee, I can attest to its dysfunction. That being said, I just had a quick question. So even though like the first thing you charge the Office of the Ethics to do is to create this like code of ethics, I know like a recurring issue with the RNA committee was like there's nothing really to do and there wasn't like an active like ethics case. I was wondering if you have something in mind that the Office of Ethics could do while there is like no ongoing cases.
Yeah, so that's loud. That was definitely something that I thought about a lot, and we thought that through, because an idle committee is not a very good committee by any means. I think to that point, it's not in this resolution because we're quite a ways off from there being a code of ethics. But to Jacob's point, that's what a lot of other universities do, is actually have this kind of similar office of ethics handle election related things as well. So I think it's not codified in here because we're not there yet, I guess. It's a little bit premature to do that, I think. But that's what a lot of other universities do with their structure. Is have kind of an office of ethics, elections review. So that's how I would foresee them also doing stuff.
We did put a little bit in here about that. So from lines 139 to 154, kind of outlines our idea, our general idea of what their charge will be. But as it says, it's not limited to this. Nor is it binding.
Perfect. As a point for everyone, because the times are going on, it's hard for a lot of people to hear right now, so please just make sure you're really, really speaking into the microphones. I will go Representative Williams.
Yeah, hi. I'd quickly like to commend you guys. I really appreciate this structure. I think this will flow really well, hopefully. But not to be that guy, but we are amending the bylaws, right? So they made two amendments to this resolution during this meeting. So does this have to also wait till the next one? Like the resolution that we discussed earlier today? Just trying to make sure. Good.
Yes, but it would have to anyway because we are.
What? Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, so I mean, regardless, the resolution is amended. We're tabling today.
President Pollack, I believe, doesn't like to do the, like all of our constitutional documents like piecemeal. We're supposed to do them all in one get go, once a semester, whatever it is. So, in theory, we're still in a good spot that we're not gonna screw things up.
Sounds good.
Representative Bentalila, did I say that right?
I have a couple of questions. So first, I just want to say that I'm fully in support that it's an external body and that it's not going to be persuaded directly by like SA voting members. So thank you for that structure. And then also, I'm seeing here that, so the Office of Ethics, line 100 of section B basically says that, you know, the voting members of the Office of Ethics, like, the chair is basically appointed by that office, and then does that person designated as the chair of that committee, do they have solely discrete ability to choose to fill up the seats for that committee? And if so, like, I'm kind of confused on the line that here, point III, it says voting members can be removed from their term expires. But it basically said that, let me just find it. that the chair basically can renew a chair, like one of the seats. So it says that the chair can renew the term of someone that's already on it. How does that work? Is that just basically solely up to their discretion, or does it have to be voted by them?
So here's the timeline. So SA would pick 7 voting members, and then internally, they would pick amongst themselves one director of the Office of Ethics. So including the director, there are 7 of them. And then after we pick the first slate, they become independent. And the next, at the end of this academic year, the voting members will choose amongst themselves a new director of the Office of Ethics. They could choose the same person, they could choose someone else, but they'll choose amongst themselves the next one. And then the next one can decide, well, if I like these voting members, they did a good job, I'll keep them on. Or I think these new people would be good to bring on board. So that is the setup. And
okay, that makes better sense. Thank you. And then last week, since we voted and already approved the budget for the SA, we designated $50 for this committee. So would you have to redo the budget for this committee?
It automatically goes to the reserve account since it wouldn't exist anymore.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The $50 we allocated to research and accountability would automatically go to the SA reserve account.
Okay.
So we don't need a new resolution.
That's what I was worried about. Thank you.
Point of inquiry, and this might just be super dumb, I'm sorry. Is this a new resolution from the resolution that you brought forward last week?
Yes, this is a new resolution, so I forget which representative brought it up, but we would have to table and then vote next week. So yes, the thought was that I didn't want to sit here and make a whole bunch of amendments, so I just introduced it as a new resolution.
Thank you.
It's all the same until this new stuff.
I have a point of information.
Yeah, for the most part, it's all the same.
Just because we mentioned money really quick, are there plans to give this committee any money? Are we going to be doing this in a future legislation, maybe?
We didn't foresee any reason to allocate a budget yet toward them. So.
Yeah, it's like they don't have programming or events like OSGR and OSA. And then their meetings would not be over 2.5 hours long, so they wouldn't need food. But in the future, like if the VPF thinks that they need money, then they would give them what they needed.
Representative Santa Cruz.
So I have a question in terms of recruitment, how it says that the first 7 voting members shall be appointed individually by any SA member. I'm curious to know, do you see any problems or challenges in the future, seeing that more than 20 people can appoint just 7 members? And how could we kind of go about that, or what would that look like?
So usually there's 2 ways for how this goes. It's either any SA member can appoint someone or the president appoints them. So we thought it would make the most sense to have any SA member appoint. And then it's not like one SA member appoints the whole slate. It says individually because one SA member can appoint like one person at a time. And then that one person is voted on after the week-long period.
Can I have a follow-up? Can I ask a follow-up?
Yes.
So are you saying that each SA member can only appoint one person?
It's not only, it's one at a time.
One at a time. Thank you.
Again, just to clarify, the concept here with that was just to make it as broad of a possibility of candidates. The thought was, we discussed this in the executive committee when this was brought up there. The thought was that if we open it up to the entire SA, you could get a more diverse pool of candidates. And then from that pool of candidates, that week lets people meet everyone, get a sense for it. So let's say I had someone in mind I wanted to nominate. I could bring it up as I want to nominate them. And in theory, I could interview someone and say, well, I should support someone else. Or, you know, I could talk with other SA members, find some collaboration in that. The concept is really just to make it as open and simplistic as possible for this first slate. And again, we only foresee doing this once, assuming there's no vote of confidence. So it would only be like a really a one-time thing.
I would smile upon a motion to vote.
Motion to table.
Oh, motion to table, I'm so sorry. Oh, perfect. And then we have a second. Do we have any dissent?
Point of parliamentary procedure, is dissent only asked for when it's a vote for unanimous consent?
Perfect. So the clarification is that dissent is for unanimous consent, unless we were, but we usually just do that, like in theory, because the alternative would be us debating whether or not we were going to go into a vote. So if it's okay with you all, I feel like a dissent. Okay, did we have any dissent to that? The tabling. Perfect. Can I have all those in favor? All those opposed? All those abstaining? In a vote of 21-0-1, that resolution is tabled. Thank you. Okay, that is it for the day.
Motion to table resolution 17 till next week.
Oh yes, do we want to do resolution 17? I'm
there's
so sorry.
There's a timeline for that.
What?
Yeah.
Hopefully we can approve it quickly.
So my hope was that we would approve of this today, but I did give the coordinators of this event a deadline to give me the categorical expenses, and they didn't answer me on time. So I think what's best is that we consider it next week.
We don't have a meeting next week, and they were trying to do an event in the beginning to mid-October. And it seemed like Slum said some of the like totals can't be tallied till they have funding.
Okay, okay, where are we now? We had a dissent.
Dissent to tabling it, yeah.
Dissent to tabling. Okay, so we're hearing resolution 17.
What? Did we start a vote? I don't think we. I can go ahead and introduce it.
She did a motion to table, and then we had a dissent. So we never had a second to the motion to table? Okay, we have a second to the motion to table, so now we're voting on whether to table, right? Okay, so now we're voting on whether to table. You can voice your dissent. Was that, right?
So I just vote against tabling, right?
Oh, no, like voice your dissent, like you can tell me why you're dissenting.
Oh.
So that people know.
I mean, do you want to talk to about it? Yeah, so we don't have a meeting next week, so we'd have to push it back 2 weeks. And Salam has been like, at least I saw it like in an exec meeting back in July, I think, or early August. So I really don't think we should push this, because I know her hope was to do the event in September to begin with, and it's already been pushed back enough. So I think we should do whatever possible to get this through today.
Okay.
He's like passed it so well. He's like trained at that. Sorry. Morgan, can you just clarify the reason you're suggesting it be tabled?
Yes, okay. So like I said, my hope was that we would approve this today, but I recently learned that it's a virtual event, and so I was curious to see what the expenses per category were and why that adds up to $4,200, because like I don't know like if we're paying for people's salaries or anything like that, so I just wanted to know before we approved it what these numbers are and why they add up to $4,200.
Did we get a budget or some sort of
that's the issue.
Okay, so but these numbers, if I'm correct, because I'm going back in my memory to why this was talked about on Tuesday, was these are the like the costs that were assigned to the person they're hiring to bring in for this?
Well, so I don't know what the individual expenses are. So beforehand, when Salam submitted the special projects funding request,
in there, that's why I put line 30 to 31 in here. It's students who do not feel comfortable meeting in person due to COVID will have the option of tuning in via Zoom. So because of that, I thought that this was an in-person event. So I thought it made sense that it's $4,200. Like, you have to reserve a location, you have to do all that. Maybe there's food. But upon learning that now it's completely virtual, now I do want to know, like, why all of the expenses of this virtual workshop add up to $4,200 before approving it. If you all feel differently, like, I'm fine with that, but it's just, I do want to know, like, what totally, are we, what's yeah. our money going to, because this is one third of our special projects fund.
Okay, so then okay. would I so have one more quick question.
An inquiry we're technically not okay. discussing that.
Like, yes, I retract my table motion.
What?
I retract my table motion so I can hear all of your input.
Okay, so we're now discussing resolution 17.
Yeah,
would you like to introduce it?
Yeah, I'll introduce it. Okay, so this resolution approves $4,200 of special projects funding to the nonprofit organization Art with Impact because they are hosting a workshop for mental health within the Black community. And basically, the whereas clauses I have in here from lines 25 to 31 are directly from the application submission. So the Art with Impact helps college students creatively explore their own mental health through the art and has an emphasis on intersectionality, community building, and mental wellness, cultural stigma within marginalized communities. The event would include a psychiatrist and facilitators who will shape workshops that open the conversation and normalize discussions surrounding mental health. So yes, this would be $4,200 from special project funding, which we have $15,000 in total for this academic year to go to this event. So again, the reason why I'm thinking that we should table it and maybe we can possibly do an email vote, I don't know the logistics of that, is that I want to know, now that I know it's virtual, why these individual expenses add up to $4,200, because I would think at first thought a virtual workshop would be much less than that. I also don't know the duration of the workshop. They didn't answer me yet. And I also don't know, like, how many, like, the advertising, like, how many students they expect to come. So my fear is just, like, there's a lot of uncertainty. But as I said, this is our fund, the Special Projects Fund. So if you all feel like this is something that needs to get done, like, right now, then, like, I, as the sponsor, am totally cool with that. So I will now hear the discussion.
Okay, just a point to everyone, as I mentioned before, no technology right now. Also, there's been a lot of side conversations in this meeting, so you should be paying attention to who's there and who's speaking. Okay, we will go Representative Overton.
Okay, thank you. My first inquiries for a chair. Will we need to motion to, like, extend this meeting by, like, 10 minutes or so, because we're kind of running out of time, or is that, like, not an official thing we need to, because I remember we needed to do it last time.
Yes. Can we motion to, I believe it's extend debate.
Like, 10 minutes? Does that work? Motion to amend?
Okay. Second. Cool. Was that by unanimous consent? Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's what I just said. Perfect. And I guess the second point.
Sorry. Do we have any dissent to that by unanimous consent? Perfect. Okay. Next. Sorry, that was your first on the speakers list. So I'm going to go to Representative Mullen.
Yeah. Thank you. I just want to say that this shouldn't be as hard as we're making it to pass this. Representative Williams pointed out, I think Representative Leon pointed out, it's been since July that they've been trying to get this approved. I also just want to bring attention to the fact that this is specifically for mental health within our Black community on campus. I really think delaying that by an additional 2 weeks would be a serious error on our part. I think what we can try and do is, and I guess this is just a question to you, is there a way we can pass this and then account for whatever the funding would be? Because I really think that there's no way the funding is going to be manipulated in any way by them. I don't think it's a huge need for concern of us to make sure that nothing is being, as you said, going to salaries. I don't think that's a concern. So I think we should pass, and then if possible, make sure they have the right funding, and anything that's over that, is there a way to just put that back into the extra funds or reserves? Because I think that this should be done with expediency.
I would be in favor of that.
Oh, but also, first I want to motion to amend to remove lines 30 to 31 since it's no longer accurate. I mean, it's, well, now it's all Zoom, so I just don't think it should be in there anymore.
Point of information. At the executive meeting, it seemed as though it was an in-person event. What has changed, slash how did you find out that it's in-person?
Well, when I reached out to inquire about the expense categories, they tagged Salam and they said, like, this is in-person or virtual. And then she said it's virtual. So I was like, oh, it's virtual. Okay. So that's how I had learned via
Who?
Email.
Mm-hmm. Salam?
Yeah, the program, like the coordinators, Art with Impact people who are coordinating all of that, asked Salam if she wanted it to be in person or virtual, and then she said it's virtual. So then that's how I found out it's virtual.
Representative Bonta.
Motion to vote. And debate, and yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Second, do we have any dissent to that? Okay, Representative Eisman, you can voice your dissent into a microphone. But you need to use the microphone.
My reason for my dissent is that I am still very unclear where these $4,200 are going. I would really appreciate some sort of budget, even if it was very concise, just to see where this is going. And if this was something that we allegedly have been trying to pass since over the summer, I'm a bit confused why this was not kind of sorted out earlier to include that information. And I would prefer to not passes hastily without that.
Representative Leon.
I spoke to Salam earlier today, so unless this happened like right when the SA meeting started, she is under the impression that this is not a virtual event. So I don't know if that's like a miscommunication, but Salam is planning for in-person. And she also told me that like they can't really make a lot of plans until they have the approval for the funding, which is why it's so important to get it through.
Representative Katie.
I'm just proposing this as a compromise here. If the concern is that the funding, we want to see where the funding goes, but we need to pass this resolution, why don't we just amend this resolution to include something saying the funds will be given once we have a budget, something along those lines. I don't know the technical terms of it, but whatever you're waiting for, you disperse, sure. We can allocate the funds to this under the assumption that a budget's turned in, and if a budget isn't turned in, then we wouldn't do this. So I'm getting the sense a lot of people are supportive of funding this project. We could fund this project and then just say we're not going to give out the funds until a budget comes out. So if Morgan, if there's some language that you could work with, I would very much like to make that amendment.
Motion to amend lines 30, to add at lines 37, be it further resolved that the special projects funding will be dispersed as soon as a budget is submitted.
Second.
Do we have a yes?
I retract.
Can something be added where, if it's a virtual event and they don't need the $4,200, I don't know how that works, how the money would come back to the SA?
I think that's under the assumption that the budget would then, it would allocate all according to the budget.
Representative Romeyer. Oh, wait. That was that an amendment? Okay, so we add, so we're back in voting?
Yep.
So, okay, yes, so.
I retracted my second, so no one's second.
You, okay, so second. I need a second.
Can I ask for a point of information?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to ask who would be approving this, the money? Like once they send the budget, are we just automatically whatever the amount that they send can go through? Or I'm a little confused by that.
Is that to Morgan?
I guess so. Like where's the, or with this amendment, like we're basically saying whatever money that they say they want to spend, we're auto approving, or is that like going to the SI and then we're going to approve it, or is that going to go to you and then you're going to be like, yeah, I approve?
I could say, be it further resolved that the special projects funding will be dispersed as soon as the budget is submitted and conveyed to the student assembly. Then I can just like send it on Slack.
Motion to amend the resolution to include what Morgan just said.
Second.
Okay, any dissent to that? Perfect. We are voting now. All those in favor, please raise your placards. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, and a vote to 20-0-2, that amendment passes.
Motion to pass this resolution.
Okay, motion to second. Vote. We have a second. Do we have any dissent to that? Okay. That was not by unanimous consent. Okay, all those, what? All those in favor?
So can I have a point of information? So I wonder, the reason why I will abstain is because I'm really confused. So, as also Payne was confused, previous representative. Gronemar, previously questioned.
Sorry, we can't hear you. Can you speak into the microphone?
Okay, sorry. As also Representative Gurumar previously confused, so am I. So Representative, would you mind to clarify? So what happened is they will send us a budget and then we automatically approve it, or will we will still go through a meeting and then approve it? The amendment says we have to.
That was to Representative Baker.
And the assumption is that the budget will be good.
So there will be another SA meeting and then we will have a simple majority.
No, not another SA meeting. What I meant by conveyed, I used that vague term because I would just send it on Slack probably.
Okay, so I wonder is the amount can be exceeded?
So that was, what was your original?
It was a dissent.
So I'm really-
It was a point of information, yeah, so that needs to be phrased as a question, and that's a question about that.
Okay, so I raised the point-
Because we're like currently in voting, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're currently in voting. So now we're voting. All those in favor, please raise your placard. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Morgan, did you vote?
Oh, I voted yes.
Oh, yes, okay, I missed you. So in a vote of 18-0-4, that resolution passes. Congratulations, Representative Baker.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Dissent. We have a second.
Did we ever do the guy in Ohio land acknowledgement at the beginning?
What?
Did we?
Sorry, okay. What did you say?
Retract.
Okay. So we had a second. Okay. We have to vote on that. So all those in favor, please raise your placards. Please, everyone, just raise your placards. Okay. In a vote of 21-0-1, that resolution passes. We're adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.